Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Hopefully you all having a good amount of sleep, like, you know, myself, and ready to go for whatever the day entails for us today. I'll go and open us up in a word of prayer, and then we'll be able to get right to it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being able to get us all here safely, travels, and thank you for being able to have the food available that you provided for us to be able to have. Please let us all remind ourselves to be thankful to you and to be grateful for all that you provided for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so for those of us that are going to be reading through the Bible, we're going to be reading in Matthew chapter 5. And I'll be starting at verse 1. And it goes and reads as this. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecute, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you." The text we're going to be going into is particularly on one of the Beatitudes, which is going to be, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So in the introduction here, we have Jesus giving up one of the greatest sermons ever known to man. You know, it's a sermon that has just infinite amount of value and wisdom that it's able to be given us. And that obviously starts off with the great introduction with talking about the first beatitude. These beatitudes that he gives essentially is what the attitudes that we all should be having when we live a life here to the glory of God in a way that is pleasing to him. And so in this first beatitude that Jesus gives us as the introduction is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." So first thing we're going to be discussing is the aspect of what it means to be poor in spirit. Or in the aspect of Luke's account for the Beatitudes, it just simply says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." But Matthew gives a little extra detail saying poor in spirit. I'm sure we all are familiar with what the word poor means, right? It's not the most exciting word, you know, especially if you attribute that to yourself. Oh man, I'm poor. I can't do nothing. Can't buy anything. Can't go anywhere. You know, when we're poor, we're helpless. We can't sustain our own life. We can't be able to get anything we want done. We can't be able to achieve our goals in life. It's really hard to be able to go in and choose what we want to choose when we're actually, in fact, given what we're given. Even in America, the term to be poor is seen as a bad description of yourself. If you are in America, as I'm sure we're all familiar with, if you want to be well-known and popular and, you know, amazing, what must you have? Cars, houses, finances, or amazing knowledge and whatnot. But if you have nothing to offer, according to the world standard, you are worthless yourself. But in this case, Jesus used that very same concept of being poor to the point that you are what's known as a beggar, right? And we know that if you are a beggar, that's because you have to fully depend on somebody else just to be able to get you on by. And so in this case, for being poor is the attitude that Jesus wants us to be able to idolize into ourselves, to be able to have an idea for ourselves of this poor mindset that, yes, to the world, being poor is the worst thing you could ever be. But to Jesus and to his kingdom, being poor is actually the best thing you could ever be. Now, what kind of poor are we talking about? Are we talking about just having no income, having no money, living in a cardboard box? Are we saying that all homeless people are the ones who inherit the kingdom of God, and that if you have a car or a house, that you're not in this promise? No. The term particularly is taking the concept of being poor, but it's particularly being poor in spirit. Particularly, that's actually talking about the fact that we realize in and of ourselves we cannot do anything, that we cannot sustain our own life, that we cannot even travel here without God helping us, and providing us with the strength, the eyesight to see, the mindset to be able to hear, or even the ability to be able to cook our food that we're about to get for today. It is this aspect of being poor in spirit, which is what is critical to our foundation, to being true children of God. The people of the world take pride in the fact that they could do everything on their own. So much so that they don't even need to believe in a God. They say, "Where there is no God, he doesn't exist. I could do all this on my own. Look at all the wealth that I've gotten on myself." But yet, little do they realize that just as the Lord feeds the birds of the air, so does he feed every one of us, whether we give him gratitude or not, right? And it's us as his children, followers of Jesus, that recognize that whatever we have comes from his own hand. That is the great promise there. Now, with that in mind, we then go into the promise of these who have this mindset of being poor in spirit. What is their promise? What is their reward? Well, for Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," right? In this case, if you want to have your own kingdom, what must you possess according to the world's standards and ideas? Wealth, power, influence. You must have all these things upon yourself. And if that's the case, then you could be able to have as much as you want to have. You could expand your own house, have a mansion, have three mansions. The more you have, the more you could expand your own kingdom. But that's not how Jesus approaches. He doesn't follow the ways of the world's thinking. He says, if you want to expand your kingdom, if you want to possess all things, you yourself must recognize that you have nothing. You offer nothing. You have nothing of worthy or importance that you could offer to God. Because all of our works are as filthy rags. And so it's in ourselves and recognizing, I have nothing and I need all the help I could get, Lord. Every single day, from taking a simple shower to as high as being able to do well in my place of employment or to be able to raise up kids. It's these ones that realize how much they need the Lord's help are the ones that actually will be able to possess everything. They'll be able to have the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God particularly? Well, we all may be familiar with the term kingdom. And with the kingdom, you must have a what? A king. And that king has rule over their own area of authority. Now we have to wonder then, what is the realm of authority that God has in his kingdom? Does he only rule over a quarter of the earth? Maybe half of the earth? Maybe just the earth itself? Not quite. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of all the universe. Just as the Lord created the heavens and the earth, that is the same heavens and the earth that he rules all over. And he has no equal. And it's his children that are poor in spirit, as we've just discussed, that are the ones that are able to inherit everything. That we are the ones that will be able to possess everything. But again, that is very counterintuitive to the world's ways of thinking, right? The world says, you can be spiritual, but if it's not making you a lot of money in your bank account, and it's not making you popular, then where's the point in that? Where's the value in that? Yet, we must remind ourselves that whatever possessions you may have, we all know when we were born in this life, we did not bring anything with us into this world. And when we all pass away, we're not going to be taking any of our things with us when we go to the afterlife. And so it is actually us as the children of God that are thinking of the long-term picture. It is us that are working towards being poor in spirit that will be able to acquire things, not just in the future, but today and in the future. The things we possess and get from the Lord ourselves are things that will last forever. So why take joy in the temporary things of life when you could actually be able to possess the things that will last forever? Now, how does this relate to our aspects and mindset of discipleship? It's very important because if we recognize that we need help, if we recognize that we need the Lord to be able to support us, to be able to help us, we need to recognize that the Lord uses means to be able to provide for his children who need him every day. And one of the main ways he uses that is through what we call discipleship, or being taught by another mature believer to help guide you and to raise you up in the world. One of the main ways that the Lord provides us this way of discipleship is through faithful church attendance at a biblical sound church. If you do recognize that you are poor in spirit and that you do need help and that you cannot even do the simplest things on your own, then I would urge you to be getting into a faithful biblical church. To the world, it may seem like, oh, it's not really that important, not, you know, it's extracurricular activity, but being part of a faithful body and to have others around you to encourage you and to remind you and to point you to Christ as the source of your strength and your hope, it will be able to get you to recognize and to fall into loving the wonders and mercies of Jesus Christ. In that aspect of discipleship, how does this apply in our lives? Well, let's give some examples. One example in particular is if you have, like in myself, I am a husband to my wife, Savannah. Being humble in spirit is first off recognizing that I need the Lord's help to be able to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That is a tall order, and that is very difficult to do, right? And I recognize that I fall short every day. But the thing that's most deceptive for myself in being a husband is recognize there's plenty of days where I go on and said, I think I did all right today. I think I didn't do too bad. And it's that temptation that we fall into where we get out of thinking we are poor and think that we actually are able to do things on our own and be independent. But it's in actually recognizing my great need for the Lord is in where I'll be the greatest in my strength as a husband in loving her. That's really how the Lord works for all of us, is that the more we recognize our helplessness, the more strong we actually are. And yet, oddly enough, the more independent we think we could be apart from the Lord's help, actually the less sustainable we are, the more weak we actually are. And so we're going to be reading through a parable that will be able to summarize this very mindset, to be able to see the value and worth of being poor in spirit. And it's going to be found in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. Jesus says here, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed like this: God, I thank you that I am not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing far off, will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but would beat on his breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. As we see with this parable, the Pharisee and the tax collector, you have the Pharisee, which did everything externally, religiously, correctly. If you had a look at the Pharisees, you would say these are very devout people to the Lord. And they looked at all their works and said, look at all these things that I do. I go to church every Sunday. I read my word every other day. I'm faithful in, you know, giving to the poor. I'm faithful in helping out my neighbors. Oh, Lord, look how great I am. I thank you that I'm not like this other person who doesn't even do anything. Matter of fact, it's a person who actually doesn't even provide any good worth, right? And yet, it is that very same tax collector that didn't deny the accusations made against them. Maybe the tax collector wasn't the best person in the world. But here's the critical part, though. As the tax collector said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is in that very aspect that the Lord was able to be very well pleased and justified that the tax collector, far from perfect he is, recognized how helpless he is. And yet, it is the Pharisee who said, I could do all these things. Look at all these things that I have done. And look how great I am. It is actually the one that the Lord is actually working against. And is actually against the prideful. And this is really the importance in being poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit is in recognizing, even if you are on your best day, able to be a faithful husband, a faithful parent, faithful churchgoer, you know, a faithful employee and whatnot, that you are still having the mindset of this tax collector, that you're still asking God to be merciful to you, a sinner, that you need his help as much as on your best day as you do on your worst day. The greatest deception for any of us to fall into is to be able to think that we need the Lord when we are in desperate need of him, but when things are going well, we do not. Those who are blessed and those who are poor in spirit are those who recognize their need for him every single day. And with this, I pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being able to give us this message on how to be poor in spirit. Let us be able to recognize our need for you. Let us be able to be humble and recognize that we are as children that are as much in need of you as toddler needs of their parents. Let us be able to have this mindset so that we could recognize that in being humble, we will be exalted and pleasing in your sight. That is greater than anything else we could ever possess. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.